Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, Keelan Patterson, Midwest Muscle, P4P Real Talk, and this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. And if you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals like a Mack truck through ice cream, check us out at P4PMuscle.com. And now, let's talk. Hey everybody out here! I'm just really excited today. It's kind of a good bad thing, but finally we found someone that's willing to talk openly about a very bad side of the community that is a bodybuilding, and that is the bad prep, the bad coaching, the bad things that basically take away from all the joy and fun that you expect to have while competing. And I'm going to be speaking with Holly White. Holly, please introduce yourself.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, not a problem. Now, Holly, just give us a little background of you. And, you know, because you're not the run-of-the-mill competitor where, you know, you didn't know a lot of things. You've got very good education. You've got a very sound mind, and you're very well-spoken. So, you know, people think, well, this can't happen to me, and basically it does happen to those people that think it can happen. And you were sucked into the community and basically put in a spot that wasn't very healthy or sustainable for your metabolism or your health. So could you just give us a little background of you and then talk about the prep and all the things that came about from it?
Yep. So I never was incredibly active until about 2012. I started running, and I ran some half marathons and started to, you know, drop the weight and get into, you know, pretty good shape. Had some issues with my knees being really sore. I had weak hips, weak glutes, so I started in lifting weights in the gym. And I fell in love with the weight room. I started doing some HIIT training, fell in love with that, just loved the intensity of it. So, you know, I figured, why not? You know, I'm a mom of three. I've done so many things I never thought I could do, so why not a bikini competition? And so the idea of having that challenge and that destination, I'm just so goal-driven. I do anything to hit my goals, and I think a lot of people in this type of community do that. They just are so incredibly goal driven, and it ended up, I kind of got sucked into, you know, what's 5 more carbs, what's 10 more carbs, what's a little more dandelion root. That's natural, right? And I think it was a slow progression. It was nothing that happened right away. It was just, you kind of started getting into it, and it just kept going until you realize that you can't go anymore. So I did my first show during my prep. I was down to 50 carbs was where my load was at, with no altering of my my fitness workout regimen. I did the water depletion as well. And so I competed in June 2015, my first show, and I finished second in my height class and third overall. So of course I left feeling that, you know, this is perfection. I did awesome. I did everything that I needed to do. This is what it is. This is what it's about. Of course got addicted. Just wanted to, you know, jump right back in again. And so I competed again in October. I had probably, I think, like 2 months off where I was starting to slowly try to, I guess, reverse without blowing up in between. And then I went right back into a strict cut, and it was a few weeks out, same regimen on my second one. I started just depleting carbs. But this time it was a little bit different, because I think now looking back, I realized that this was when my body was saying, hey, this is enough. I started retaining a lot of water, and holding a lot of just belly water. It was jiggly and it wasn't firming up. And so dandelion root, asparagus, trying to figure out ways to get rid of the water. But little did I know, I was starving. I just needed to add probably calories into my diet. finished that show 4th place, 5th place, and then, you know, it was the end of October, so we had, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas, and I still kept on my, for the most part, I probably would say I was, you know, probably 90% on my diet. I still meal prepped. I've never stopped doing that. And I think the thing that I was, you know, when I look at this whole thing, the thing that I'm probably most shocked that I learned that I didn't realize is that rebound that people talk about, I always thought it was because people went off their diet and went crazy. And I never really completely understood or comprehended metabolic adaptation and how our body responds to that. And so I think that's huge that people need to understand that the rebound isn't just a loss of self-control after being restricted for so long necessarily, that there can be more to it.
Yes. For the audience and the listeners, Holly's talking about a really tough time when she was feeling that, you know, everything's doing great, she's doing everything she's supposed to, and she's listening exactly and adhering to everything she was told. But a lot of it was bad information, and a lot of it was costing her, you know, her health. And I'm sure, you know, that's just the competition side. Maybe you could talk to us a little bit about how the family suffered while you were suffering and dealing with this.
Yeah, I mean, it's the prep part, I think that, I mean, maybe my husband and my family would say something different. But I think during the prep portion of it, for the most part, I just knew that this is what I was doing to myself, so my family couldn't be impacted by, you know, I can't be grumpy. I can't be upset that they're eating ice cream and I'm not. And so that aspect of it was okay. I mean, I was tired, and I still have bouts where I feel like I'm probably more tired than I should be. So I was missing out on some things from that respect. But when I wasn't in prep mode and my metabolism was so slow, and as I'm trying to muddle my way through getting that metabolism to ramp back up so I can be semi-normal, there's weight gain with that. I'm still putting in all of this effort and all of this energy and something I love doing in the gym, but the exterior, which is, you know, honestly, that's part of the reason why we do it. We do it for health, but also we like the aesthetics of it. It doesn't match. So everything that I'm feeling on the inside and that I feel that I am isn't matching the exterior. So psychologically, it's tough. It's, you feel almost like embarrassed, or you feel kind of fraudulent that, you know, that you aren't who you think you are, you feel you are, because your body's not responding and showing the work that you do. So that, that ultimately affects your day to day, because you're frustrated with yourself. And so, you know, maybe your patience is maybe a little bit less than it should be, or you don't feel attractive. Your clothes don't fit like you want them to fit, and it can take a toll.
On so many areas in life, I can't even begin to imagine, you know, and that was one of the first things that really kind of put the red flag for bodybuilding for me, is that it seemed like people were doing more suffering than enjoying the process. And it was just frightening to me when people would say, oh, you know, you lose this much body fat and you'd be ready to compete. And my question was always, why would I want to compete if all I'm hearing is these horror stories of, you know, basically people tearing up their bodies, you know, and not, to me, it just didn't seem like it was a very healthy way. And this, well, it was, I can't call him a coach. He was basically just somebody in the gym that knew a lot of competitors and was basically passing on their bro science, I guess best way to say it. And it was just a bunch of foolishness that just didn't add up to me. So I basically stayed away from it, because he was telling me everything I was going to have to cut out of my life. And, you know, I played sports all my life, so what he was saying just didn't make sense. And then he told me I had to stop drinking water, and I could have thrown him out the gym if he'd been any closer, because that just didn't make sense. I'm thinking, if I'm going to be pushing my body to the extreme, you're asking me to basically take the water out of the radiator and expect the car to drive correctly? It just didn't make sense. So I can only imagine, you know, when you had a family, when you had the husband, when you had the work and everything else, it had to be pretty stressful at some times.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, I mean, it wasn't easy, but it's also a thing with my drive. And I mean, no matter what, I knew that that was my goal and that's what I was going to do. And it was kind of selfish in that respect, but you kind of got wrapped into the, you know, it's just it seems like it's such a short time that you're committing to something, even though, you know, deep down you're thinking to yourself, okay, this doesn't seem right. You've got these little red flags that are like, huh, you know, I was questioning things and I was asking things and I was reading things and I kind of knew it, but I doubted it. And I just knew where I wanted to get. And I kind of got sucked into that whole do what it takes. We're going to get on stage and then we'll think about that. And then you start your second prep and then it's like, okay, after this one, then we'll think about that. I think it just starts to get kind of pushed to the wayside. And I by no means want to put anybody at fault because I had red flags and I said, I mean, I had the red flags and I had the, huh.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't trust myself enough to follow those cues appropriately. And I took a route that was probably quicker and easier and glad, I guess I learned the lesson, but I'm also happy to be able to, I guess, hopefully be vocal about it so people know that there's better ways to go about it and there's healthier ways.
But yeah, now, you touched on something, and we're going to just expound on that for a little bit because it's the trust issue. You know, you put trust in someone, and you said, well, since I don't know all of what I'm doing, I have to put some trust in what the person is asking me to do because hopefully they're bringing me down the right path. And, you know, I've seen people, you know, drive right off a cliff when it comes to their health, when it comes to their coach and what they're training. And like you said, if you're not asking the right questions, then there's going to be some problems down the road. And, you know, the do as I say, no matter what mentality, and Leif talks about this a lot, Leif Anderson, and he's one of the top-notch coaches. But he said if you can't ask a question and expect to answer it without, you know, just do what I say, then there's something wrong in that scenario. So, you know,
well,
there's plenty of people that want to offer their prep, but it's not helpful if it's not really true prep.
Well, I always had an answer to my question, and it made sense in the moment. I mean, I never had a moment where there was no answer, and it made sense. And when your metabolism
okay.
is healthier, all of those little bits of advice that were given to me, they worked. I mean, it was, you know, take this out. Well, gosh, I mean, my metabolism's working, you know, fairly well right now. So, yeah, great. My body responded real quick. And it's like, wow, 1 week, this is awesome, you know, when you're doing your progress and checking on things. And so it all, you know, it's like, well, okay, this is right because it worked. But
okay.
that doesn't mean that necessarily that was the best way to go about it. And I think once you get to the point where I was starting to retain water, my body was starting to shout out at me like, hey, you're doing this for too long. Let's knock it off. There wasn't, I think it was, we weren't prepared for how to handle that and recognize it and treat it properly and recover from that. And then it just kept going.
Okay.
I needed someone to talk me off the ledge at that point. I think it was unknown territory and it wasn't.
Yeah,
I think that was more of what it boiled down to.
Okay, so basically it was just to get you ready for stage, but not really dealing with the overall health issue.
Not sure I'm understanding.
Well, basically what you were doing was the prep you were given was just to get you ready for a show and for a stage moment, but not for your overall health. You know, in the long.
Yes. Yep. Exactly. And then, you know, you don't know anything else then at that point when you're done. It's like, well, now what? The only thing I know is to, you know, is drop carbs. Well, I don't have any more carbs to drop. Now what? What do I do? Like, I know I can't.
Yes.
And you're lost. You don't know what to do. And what you were doing isn't working anymore. You feel like you're spinning your wheels, not moving anywhere.
So basically, your body is basically throwing up the stop sign, not a stop light, where you have the choice to yield, go, or stop. You basically just hit the wall.
I hit the wall. Absolutely, I hit the wall.
As you're going through this psychological ordeal, which had to be horrific, because, you know, the one thing I tell guys is, you know, you should thank God you're not a woman, because image is a lot to deal with your daily life, not even dealing with stage. And then you add to the fact of the best you is no longer the best you, because, you know, you're eating again and, you know, you're putting on weight again, and life is returning back to what would be considered everyone else's normal. But your normal has changed because you've had that stage look, and that's something that gets etched in your brain. So as you're watching your body change, and, you know, the water retention and the bloating, and add to the fact of that monthly time where it just makes the mind go crazy anyway, how do you walk yourself down from the ledge, and did you have some kind of support that could help you from that cliff?
Yeah, I definitely, it's tough. When you look in the mirror and you're used to seeing abs, and all of a sudden that you look bulky. Cause any girl that is carrying muscle, cause I have a fair amount of muscle, but anytime you add a layer of fat to muscle on a girl,
mm-hmm.
I think that you just get that bulky look. So, and I mean, for me, I don't want to look super bulky. I want to look muscular. I want to look toned and healthy, not bulky. And I couldn't ask for a better support from my husband, number one, because he's the one telling me that I look awesome. And he's like, I thought you looked awesome before. I mean, and you look awesome now. So to have somebody that's there that, you know, loves me unconditionally, no matter if I'm stage ready or not, I'm very blessed to have that in my life. And then, you know, family's great. They've been supportive of me as well throughout it. And then you've been, you know, listening to me, helping me talk myself down from the cliff. and I have to say that, you know, that was one thing that I needed was, you know, that outside reassurance that, you know, you're fine. You know, this is a thing. You're doing things, you know, you're doing things right. So stick with it, be patient, and, you know, let yourself start to enjoy everything again, and in the weight room and outside the weight room, and try to get back to a normal for you. And then listening to the talk show too, especially Leaf, when I was listening to some of his, I listened to a couple other ones with some competitors on there, some women competitors, and hearing them talk too, I got to say, you know, put me at ease, understanding that taking time off too to let your body recover, it's not a sign of a failure. It's a sign of that you're going to be making some progress and some changes and putting in more work, because I love my time in the morning. I love lifting heavy. I love training hard. I'm passionate about that. That's my time, and that's I identify with that. That's who I am. And it's okay to focus on just that enjoyment of it and not have a set goal, despite me still wanting one.
Yeah.
Because I like them. But I've been very fortunate for the support.
Well, you know, it's one thing to be goal-driven and goal-oriented. And some people, you know, I remember Alex Ellis saying for her that was a way she was able to regulate her body. But then, you know, it became the end-all, be-all. And so she had to step away for herself, you know, basically for her sanity. But one of the things that will be stressed incredibly, especially when you get drawn in to where you're basically so driven to get back to a certain look, is that the family or your friendships suffer because, you know, you're suffering. And I would just have to take this time to ask about the significant other, which would be your husband. And I'm sure he's a little bit frightened of, you know, you competing again because of what you had to deal with from the bad side of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think he definitely has concerns about my health. Number one, he wants me to be healthy. I, you know, anybody in the sport for the most part. I mean, you don't drink. And I'm sure that he would absolutely love to have a glass of wine with me, you know, and enjoy dinner. and so I know that from that respect, he's been overly tolerant with me. So getting back to normal is definitely important. I know he understands. I think he understands that it's something that's deep down in me that I want to step on a stage again, and I do want to compete, and I want to get that. But I'm also at a point now, I guess maybe it's a, you know, tapping out, a mercy that I understand that what's most important is figuring out my body, figuring out how it's functioning, what it needs, what it's missing, and then the stage is always going to be there. I have mm-hmm. time. And who knows,
yes.
maybe by then I'll compete in the Masters. I don't know.
well, you know, this is the thing about natural bodybuilding, and I just love how Stu Ricardo said it, Rico. He said it's the fountain of youth. And as long as you take care of your body will take care of you. And it will adapt, it will change, but it will do so in a healthy way. And it'll also do it in a way that's sustainable if done correctly. And that's what I love about the natural side of the community, because you never have to worry about failure in a way that's basically the end of good health. If you're doing it correctly, if you're using form correctly, if you're eating right, if you're sleeping right, if all of these things are the facets that bring a good life, you know, then it's going to bring a good presence to the stage as well. And that's the one thing when we were talking, you know, not on air right now, but in the past where I told you about balance. Everything has to factor in to where it functions correctly. I said, if you lift without eating, then it's wrong. If you lift without sleeping correctly, then it's wrong. If you do any of that triangle or that pyramid that's not in there every day, then it's wrong. You have to do the same thing with life. You have to do the same thing with family, friends, loved ones, whatever, job. It's all got to factor in to your day. And if you can do that, then you actually step on stage in a way that is sustainable. And I'm sure that's what you've been looking for constantly, but just in a way that, like you said, just didn't add up because the parts weren't in place.
Mm-hmm. And I always had the mentality of, you know, let's do 15 minutes more of cardio because that's going to be better. And I don't need that 15 minutes of sleep.
I can beat you over that, yeah.
And that was one thing that you said too, is that, you know, more is more. Like if you work out more, you need more rest. You need more nutrition. And
mm-hmm.
That's the truth. And I mean, I'm finally starting to feel like things, like I've hit kind of more of the bottom, and that things are starting to go uphill. And I'm starting to see a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, so to speak. So, I mean,
mm-hmm.
things are starting to get more fun, and I'm starting to feel a little bit more relaxed in things. And it's a good feeling to start to feel what I consider more normal for me than
yes.
just frustration.
Exactly. But there's one thing that always factors in when you have the ordeal that you had to go through, and that's the sense of betrayal and the lack of trust, because that is always strained in situations like that because it is so damaging. Like you said, there's a lot of thinking that goes on. There's a lot of mind games, head games that you put on yourself. And it's like no matter what, it's a little bit hard to open up to somebody else, because this is what got me burned in the first place.
Well, and it's not, I think for me, the biggest thing is that trusting my own judgment. Because I had, you know, questions and like, I wonder, and I didn't trust myself, and I didn't trust my gut,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't trust my intuition. And so coming and recovering, it's trusting myself again. Like we've talked about, you know, not being too hungry, but yet, you know, not going overboard and eating a ton when I'm trying to balance out my energy output with my food and nutrition intake. And it's like, do I trust
mm-hmm.
myself? Am I really hungry right now? is this going to jeopardize anything, or do I need to sleep, or what am I right now? And it's just relearning myself and relearning how to trust the signals that my body's given me, that they're accurate.
Yeah.
And learning that it's, when I do have a question, that I need to make sure that I'm asking questions and I'm researching and I'm doing what I need to do to make sure I'm making the right choice. Anything that has any question to it, any of those, like I question the water manipulation with my competition. And I have a friend who's, he does some training, and I remember talking to him and I'm like, you know, what have you heard about this? And I remember having the conversation and saying, you know, I'm not sure I'm going to do the water depletion. I know that I've heard it's a bad thing. But then when it came down to it, I'm like, what? I did a 7-day manipulation where I decreased for 7 days. I think it was 7 or 5 days. And it was like dropping like 20 to 30 ounces a day all the way down to the day of the show. And I'm like, it can't be that bad. It's only a week, which I can't say that. I mean, I'm sure my body hated me for doing it, but, and now when I look back at pictures too, I can see the difference between where it looks like maybe I think I could have looked better had I had a little bit more curves, a little bit more fullness.
Exactly.
On stage. I probably would have looked better.
Yes. Yes. Now I had, this is not fictitious. This actually happened. And I was just shocked because I was there to witness it, because this fella, he competed in the enhanced arena. And he was telling me to cut water, and he was preaching it like it was gospel. And he was set in stone, cut water. If you want to win, cut water. All he kept saying, cut water. And I was just amazed that he was so, just so set in stone about it, because I was looking at his pictures when he was competing, and you could see the water retention. But in his mind, no, he's cut to shreds. You know, he's taking his diuretic, he's taking these things, and he's still holding water, and he just couldn't understand what I was saying about, you know, if you had drank more water, then you would have been actually more defined and more cut, because the body would have been basically doing exactly what it was set to do. Well, he was getting ready for a show, and like I said, he competes in the enhanced arena, and of course, he overdid it. That he, you know, his body was up to 105 or 107. And I'm thinking, my God. But he figured, you know, I just got to hold out one more day. But his body failed. And so what happened is he ended up in the hospital. And he got out just in time for me to do the Great Lakes Supernatural. And he was nice enough to come down there and cheer me on. And what do you think he said? Cut water. If you'd have just cut water, you know, you would have looked so much better. And I'm thinking, you just got out of the hospital, and you're telling me to do the very thing that put you in there. Well, now, you know, a couple of years later, he decided he was going to compete again, and he got ready. And he did one show, and actually, you know, he placed in the top 10. But, you know, after his body had basically gone through what it had gone through, it couldn't actually get to a higher level than that. Well, then his body did a complete failure. You know, the liver and the kidney had failed. And, I mean, if you were to see him now, he looks like the Michelin man, because his body just doesn't know, you know, up from down and right from left. And that was all because of his attempt at water manipulation. And it is, like I said, this is in the enhanced arena where he's taking the pharmaceutical-grade diuretics. And, oh, and believe it or not, he's still set on cut water. And I said, so, you know, when I don't think people are doing it to, you know, out of just straight negligence. They just don't know any better. And, you know, it's worked in the past, mm-hmm. like you said, but he did not learn from that. Or you did. And you said, you know, something's not right. I got to start asking questions. He said, this is the way to work, and, you know, it's worked for this person and that person, and it worked for me. So it's going to keep on mm-hmm. working, and he can't see past it. So I can truly understand where you're coming from.
Well, and then when I started holding water more before my second show, it was, we got to get the water off. And I went into one of the local stores here, and I said I wanted just the, because I like the dandelion root tea. And so I'll mix that up and drink that during the evening sometimes. So I went in for that, and they were out of it. And so here we are, coming up within a couple weeks of the show, and they're out of it. It's the second time I'd been in to buy it, and they're still out. So they showed me this. It was a tablet with dandelion root in it versus the tea. And I was hesitant. I'm like, nah, And they're like, well, it's this. We'll give you a discount on it. And I'm like, well, is there anything in it that's not natural? Because I knew I wanted to stay natural. That was my mindset, is as long as it's natural, I'm okay. And he's like, oh, yeah, everything's natural in it. So I bought it and I started using it. And it was much stronger, I think, than the dandelion tea that I was used to. And I remember I was having flank pain with it too. So I'm pretty confident that I had some, my kidneys were not super happy with me with it. And then that was when I first noticed that I was having issues with my sodium. I think that I was starting to lose so much fluid that my sodium, I didn't have any salt in my sweat. I noticed that was the first time I noticed that. So then at that point, then here's my sodium off too. And I just threw my body into a tailspin. And again, it was just all, it was probably all because I needed to give my body more food, more fuel.
And it is a strain. And I guess because my mother was a nurse, I looked at the human body a little differently. Instead of just something you use and basically discard when you're not thinking about, it was an all day process of dealing with what you were doing and basically balancing out how you were treating it. So, Joe Perez says that your body is your trophy. I really identified with that because for me, it made sense because mom always taught us, if you don't take care of yourself, then how can you do the things you love? And she was basically setting me up for life. If you want to do things with friends, then you got to take care of yourself. If you want to play sports, then you got to eat right and drink water, instead of the soda. So everything, had to make sense instead of just saying, well, I'm going to do it because, okay, if I'm hungry, I'll eat a Twinkie. It makes no sense. If you're saying you want the best out of your body, then why put the crap in there? The fuel is basically low-grade gas, then you got to expect the car to sputter every now and then when you're trying to give it some good octane. And this is how I've always identified food. Food was never that kickback thing where like comfort or, I'm eating Häagen-Dazs and watching the TV shows. It was basically, this has to mean something. It's got to be something going in because the output I need has to be sustainable.
And eat for performance.
Yes,
That was,
eat for
yes, that was
performance.
the,
I like that.
that was the mentality that I had prior to a prep. And then when I, after going through one, then it was eat for what you want to look like, almost, is what it changed and morphed into, instead of eat to get your, eat for performance, eat for your body to do what you want it to do. And so it kind of got misconstrued somehow and entangled.
Got a little twisted.
And yeah, and focus just got kind of just, yeah, this focus wasn't where it needed to be. And
Well, see,
I think
that
there's
deals with the two things that brings into play. One, any driven person is driven, and that's the one thing they have to understand. And first place is a goal, and we have to understand that when we think about competition and competing. The second thing is, if I'm doing this, it has to be done perfectly because that's how driven people think. And sometimes perfection gets so over-focused that you basically do get in your own way.
Nope, absolutely.
So now
Nope,
when
and
you're
I.
dealing with what you're dealing with, and you're seeing that the changes aren't happening, when did you decide to hit the brakes and say, I got to go a different route?
When I knew that there was no possible way that I could live by putting in, there's no possible way I could put in any more time into the gym. There's just, it couldn't happen in a daily life. And I was in there for so many hours a day. And then I looked at my food. Okay. Cause first is exercise. Okay. What's my exercise going on? What can I do? Couldn't do anything there.
Mm-hmm.
And I go to the diet. I'm like, what can I do with the diet? Wait a second. I don't have anywhere to go. Unless I just don't want to eat ever, I can't go anywhere. And then, so I can't do anything there. And then I've got this, I know that I'm not feeling good about myself. And psychologically, I'm just not happy. All three
mm-hmm.
of those things were off. And so at that point, it's like, whoa, wait a second. How did I get right here? Let's look at this.
Yeah.
So if I'm doing... If all of these variables, like I'm maxed out, I am maxed out to the lowest diet, I am maxed out on the most effort that I'm pushing out, but yet I'm still not looking like I want to look and I'm not feeling like I want to, there's got to be a different way. I'm doing something
mm-hmm.
wrong. So it's just, I maxed out everything. I mean, I checked out all the variables and I couldn't go anywhere anymore.
Yeah, and thankfully you did have the mindset to reach out and try to improve, because there's so many things that happen in that time, and you know, a lot of people get self-destructive because they said, you know, nothing's working, and you know, like you said, you can't give up because that's just not in you, but you do start coming to the mindset that what I'm doing isn't working. And then, you know, you took the right turn, I guess the best way to say it, instead of the wrong one, where you say, then nothing works, so screw it. And that's when
that
you really
was,
go into free fall.
You know what? That crossed my mind. And there's been so many times that had crossed my mind, but I just know deep down that that's not what's going to make me happy. Giving up on it and saying screw it, which would be so easy to do because it's so hard to stay focused. I've put so much effort into it and I've gotten so far despite me not being where I want to be and having a setback. I've put way too much heart and energy and effort into where I'm at right now that I should be proud of where I'm at and embrace that and just know that there's improvements to come and enjoy that whole process. And
mm-hmm.
That's where I need to be, and that's when I have those moments where I'm like, man, it'd be fun just to, you know, not care for a while. I just think about the long term is not going to make me any happier. But if I stick
mm-hmm.
it out and if I stay dedicated and work on finding balance, I'm going to be so much happier 6 months from now.
I like that way of thinking. And it does take time, you know. And I've always, and this isn't talking about competition body. This is just people I train at the gym to get healthier in life. And one of the things I talk about is you have to understand that you took time to put yourself in a bad situation, and it's going to take time to get you in a good situation. But the whole point of it is that it's going to take time. And everybody wants that quick turnaround and everything's going to be fine, you know, because this time I've really made up my mind that I'm going to do different. And so, you know, then it should happen right now. And I'm thinking, no, that's not how reality works. It's basically you've come with the understanding that you need to do better, but your body's still stuck on basically, I don't want to say, it's just stuck in a spot that's, you know, you have to get out of. And it's if you're in a ditch, you don't sit there and worry about the road until you get out of the ditch. So the journey doesn't start until, like you said, that balance does happen. And your body learns to trust you again because, you know, just like you lost trust mentally, your body lost trust physically because you've done things that said, I'm not willing to take care of you in a way that, you know, will make you happy. And we think that our bodies are just supposed to listen because we yell at it, and that's not how our bodies do. Our organs have to be in a certain spot, our skin, our bone, everything has to be where it needs to be to start growth. And if we're not in that spot, you know, whether we're there mentally or not, it's not going to grow or move. And to do those things that we're asking basically has to happen over time, because like I said, the time we took to damage it has to be almost doubled going the other way.
Mm-hmm. And I think describing my body like it's a rebellious teenager.
Yes.
Probably one of the best ways I think that I could probably put it into perspective. It's like I'm telling it to do something and it's like, I'm not doing that. You think you want to go this way?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go this way on you and turn you for a loop.
Yes. And it's almost the do as I say, not as I do. And so your body is saying, well, that's not what you taught me, so why would I do it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you said do this, but you went a totally different way. And now you're saying you're mad at me because I'm doing what you taught me and not what you want.
Yep.
So it, for the listeners that have to understand that this is something that was not an overnight thing. This is this was an ordeal that took time. And just describe that mental step down, like you said, where it just kept becoming an excuse to do what you were doing.
I think it's the, again, what you're talking about when you, I think as people, we tend to like immediate gratification, something that's a little bit
mm-hmm.
more immediate. And so when you're able to get on the slope of the slippery slope is what I'll call it, is you get, you know, make one small change and all of a sudden you get the results. So it's like, oh, cool, that worked. Well, if that worked, then, well, let's try this. And so you just start this little, you know, experiment, so to speak, with yourself of trying different things. And when you don't have any negative repercussions immediately, it's kind of hard to
mm-hmm.
see the long future when you're looking at these results that you're getting, is probably the best way that I could describe it. And so you just
mm-hmm.
have this little slippery slope where you just kind of keep going. And then eventually you don't have anywhere else to really go if you take that route. Like, you can't eliminate more things from your diet. You can't change anything anymore. You're just left with no choices almost. It's a helpless feeling to feel like you don't really know which direction to go, and you don't feel like you have any choices to, you don't have any more pieces to move around on the table to make things
mm-hmm.
go the direction you want. And, you know, anybody who's done any research on reverse dieting, you know, if you reverse diet, there's probably going to be some gain. And when you're already feeling like you've gained too much to even fathom adding in anything else and potentially risking any more gain is the last thing you want to do, despite it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to grit your teeth and pray for the best.
And that's basically what
time.
It comes down to. Yeah, because it's a rocky road to begin with, and then you find out there's potholes along with the rocky road. It's got to be like, well, what the heck? You know, I made the turn thinking it was the right direction, but boy, my GPS must be off.
Mm-hmm. And when your internal GPS is off, it's like, man, now what? Do I trust myself to reverse and try to get myself back to a normal diet? Am I making the right choices? Because I clearly didn't make the right choices to start with. So now, really, can I trust myself?
Yeah. So, you know, all right, now that you've done the walkthrough and you've walked yourself back from the cliff, and, you know, you have the right people around, and this is the thing that I need every listener to please understand. Just because she made the right choice to do better doesn't mean it was an overnight change. you still have that battle within. And this is the thing that a lot of people think, you know, like, okay, now that I've turned around, everything's going to be hunky-dory. It's still a struggle. Could you speak about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's still a daily struggle, because part of me still, I still really want to, I want to step on a stage this year. I would be so excited if there was some way that that happened. And to start making the choices of, you know, really focusing on my body and focusing on figuring out how to properly give myself nutrition and effectively work out and get back to my body trusting me. It's still, it's like I'm on the walking, I got a leg on both sides of the fence. And, you know, mentally I know where I need to commit totally, but it's really hard to transition that thought because all I want to do is, you know, I want to get on stage again at some point. So it's still a daily struggle. You know, I had a really, really good workout yesterday, and I know that I needed to make sure that I gave myself a little more nutrition because it was good. But yet it was hard. It's like, man, I put in all that work. Would that help me out to be a little bit, you know, to drop some of this body fat if I didn't? And and then I had a training session after that at work that the whole table was filled with M&Ms and candy bars and right in front of me. And it's like, oh, man, those look really good, but nope.
Yes.
So it's
an ongoing thing. Yeah, it's an ongoing thing, and I hope people can truly get that. You know, this is something that takes time. It really, really takes time, and it's not an overnight change. It's not even a 1 month change. You're talking about 6 to 8 months of complete dedication, where you're saying this has to be the new me for a while. And, you know, a lot of people don't get that, and they don't really understand or comprehend that this is, you know, even for somebody that's basically trained like you've been training, it's still something that you have to struggle with because you walk yourself into a tight spot. And, you know, that way of thinking didn't happen overnight. It's been something that you've been dealing with daily, so you daily have to get away from it just like you got into it. And I hope that if the listeners don't understand anything else, they understand this was something that had to happen.
Yep, and it's just, yeah, it's taking it just day by day and staying focused on the long-term goals for me. The immediate gratification of anything else isn't going to, you know, help me out in the long term of where I want to be and what I want to do. So I'm definitely dedicated to it as much as it is a struggle and, you know, trying to embrace and refocus where my joy is at. You know, a lot of that's in your perception. You know, if I change my perception to the joys, being able to go in the gym and do what I love to do every day, that's my joy. That's my perception. That becomes my daily goal versus this idea and this perception of the stage. And like I said, I'm going to do it again at some point. And I know they're going to be there when I'm ready. So I'm okay with taking the time and making this a life. And there was a thing that I read talking about, you know, how as bodybuilders, there's nothing glamorous about it. I mean, it's nothing that's like these, get skinny quick programs where you get these before and afters and so many weeks. Those are cool. Those are glamorous. Those are fun to look at. But if you want something that's going to last longer than the time it took to get there, you know, with a quick scheme, I think it just takes time and you got to give it that time to develop and the mature muscles. I remember hearing that too off of one of your interviews, and the idea of having mature muscles really resonated with me. It takes the time and you have to build yourself up. I think when I cut from my first show, I hadn't been lifting for that long. And honestly, I think I did pretty well only because my body fat was so incredibly low. I mean, I had little baby muscles And I was so thin and so so like I hadn't nourished my body enough that of course I looked nice and cut, but I can't imagine what my next show is going to look like. I mean, I'm so tickled with the effort. Yes, it's been a struggle, but I've been persistent throughout it. And I think, yes, I did put on body fat. And yes, I still am having issues with some retaining some water. But the muscle I've been able to develop once I get to the stage, I think is going to be, I'm so excited to see what that package is going to look like. And that moment when I do, I'm going to be pretty darn proud, I think. I'm going to be happy that despite the struggle, I still made it.
Yes. And, you know, as a person on the outside looking in, the blessing of what you just said is basically saying, I had to change my focus to change my life. And that's basically what it comes down to, because you're seeing that, you know, like you said, what you were doing wasn't sustainable. And that's the best way to look at it, because that's the truth. What you were doing was basically getting ready for one single moment. You know, and I always harken back to, well, get me ready for my wedding. Get me ready for my prom. Get me ready for my class reunion. But it's not get me ready for life. And I said, if you're thinking the long run, that's basically where it gets to if you're really serious about health.
Nope, getting ready for that one. And, you know, I think a lot of people can get ready. I mean, anybody can do this lifestyle if they're committed to it and they love it and that's their goal. I think it's easier to get ready for one. And then, but to sustain it and to live it day in and day out, it's a commitment and you have to love it.
Yeah. But I mean, honestly, you're also saying that you have to love your life. And, you know, even though it's the natural community, there's still people that don't get into it for a healthy reason. You know, it can be, you know, a breakup. It can be, you know, basically being jealous. It can be envious. It can be all the things, like the seven demons, you know, greed, envy, jealousy. It can be a lot of things that basically drive people into a natural show. But only a healthy way of going about it is how you're likely to be successful doing it. And I'm just thankful that you were able to come out of it, because so many people have had their metabolism destroyed and their health destroyed, and they hate. I mean, it's a distinct hate from everything they had to do to get ready to quote-unquote compete, and I'm thinking basically just live through the moment. I never saw it as, you know, I've seen people win overalls and never set foot on stage after winning a pro card because their body is so beat up that they can't do it, and I'm so hurt because they would have been so good for the national arena and for anybody, just because, you know, just their charismatic nature, their likeability, all the things that would make a good competition good is done because, you know, the competitors are that likable or that looked up to, but they'll never step on stage again simply because what happened with you.
Yep. No, just even just getting out of it. I mean, after how horrible that I have felt, despite putting in the work, I mean, that's a feeling that I never want to feel that feeling again. And when you're talking about going through what I'm going through right now and recovering, that's a huge part of it too. I think about, you know, back in February, how like low I felt, my low self-esteem. I don't want to feel that way again, which is what makes me so, you know, hesitant and have that struggle of figuring out normal and testing out the waters and slowly increasing my calories, getting back to a normal, as I never want to feel that way again.
So now before the show ends, I'd like for you to just speak to the person that's basically going through a bad prep and talk them back. Just talk them back from that ledge in a way that can be a healthy and you know, just successful way of doing it?
Oh, gosh. And just think about the long term, you know, the short minute that you have that that glory on the stage. You have to think of the long term and do your research. I think, you know, do what you think is right, but make sure that you're making those decisions based off of solid information and that you see in multiple spots. There's so many good people out there that are a wealth of knowledge in prep and in diet and in training. There's so much we have at our fingertips. Take the time mm-hmm. to invest in yourself and look at those things, especially if you have questions.
Well, very well said. And I'm never in the show without giving the guests a chance to give some shout-outs to the people that have basically been there with them through thick and thin. So this is your moment.
Well, I have to say I love you to my husband because he's been an awesome supporter, and my family. I'm not sure if my kiddos are listening, but I did send them the link to listen tonight if they are around. So they're with Grandma and Grandpa this weekend. And then mm-hmm. I got to thank you for all your support too. You've been huge, a huge support in talking me off my ledge.
Well, it's the fitness family. I've always spoken well of them because, you know, there's been people in my corner that have just been there, you know, no matter what. And with my family, the way I was raised, honestly, I don't have a choice but to be the person I am because of just so much good, homeschooling would be a good way to say it. And I'm so thankful for my fitness family because there was a lot of things that, you know, there were a lot of roads I didn't take because I was warned about it ahead of time, and they did answer the question. And I'm sure that's something, well, I know that's something you really believe in is asking questions because it just doesn't make sense not to, because there's so much involved in your health. And that now that you know that it is that serious, and, you know, a lot of people don't really understand, like, you know, until it's too late sometimes, but thank God that you understand now.
Well, I'm just thankful that I have the good support around me where I know that there is a way out, and reaffirming that I just need to be patient, which is really tough to do, but it's there. I've got it. It just needs to, I have to remind myself to be patient.
Mm-hmm. And you've done very well. And I just want to say thank you for coming on the show. I know it's not an easy thing to speak about because, you know, the one thing about competing is that, like you said, there's aesthetics to talk about. But when you have to talk about the bad aesthetics, it's not easy for some people because, you know, they're so goal-oriented. I there's competitors I know will never post an off-season pick because they just never want society to limit their weight. So thank you so much, Holly, and God bless you on your journey. And, you know, I know it's a daily struggle. It's almost like an AA meeting happening right now because this is something that you really had to walk yourself back from and you've done so in a very successful way. So thank you so much. I hope you have a blessed rest of the week and have a great night. And I don't know if you have any gym life going on tonight, but I know I do. And I'll be thinking of you, and that'll be my motivation for the work that I do with the team.
Well, thank you for having me, Kaylin. I appreciate it.
Not a problem. You have a great night.
You too.
Well, that was Holly, and I hope people learned exactly where she was coming from. It's a tough road, but it's a road that we all have to take, whether it be for competition, whether it be for marriage, whether it be for children. There's always that spot where we get to where we make a choice, and it turns out that it's not exactly the best one, but it happened, and we just need to basically get over it and get back on to life and our goals and be driven. So I hope everybody enjoyed it. I hope everybody learned from it. You know, one person's pain is another person's blessing, and I hope this is one for you. So everybody have a great night. God bless you. Aileen Patterson, Midwest Muscle, P4P Real Talk, and we are